glorious time I've had just in studying and meditating on the love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God loves us is the greatest reason for serving Him that you will ever find in all of the Scripture. It's not because He's going to chasten you or judge you. That's not what brings dedicated, devoted service. It's because He loves you and you start responding to that love. Start reciprocating. The Bible said in 1 John, we're going to read Psalm 36:7 once again just to open this up. But I want to talk to you just a little while before we open it up about the fact that that so many Christians, when they came to know the Lord as their Savior, they knew in their head that God loved them because they were told the story of the cross. But they never experienced it in their heart enough to cause their heart to just melt before Him. There's a difference in what you know in your head and what happens in your heart. Amen? There's a vast difference. So the Bible said that God wanted every one of us in this room, when we come to Christ, to be rooted and grounded in love, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. You didn't get all the fullness of God when you were baptized in the Holy Ghost. The issue there wasn't God's person, it was God's power. Can you say amen? And you will receive what when the Holy Ghost comes upon you? Amen. You will receive power. The Greek word is dunamis. Amen. It flows from God, but it is not the essence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You receive power. And we got such a power consciousness in Pentecost. We would sing about the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And a lot of times we knew a lot about not only the power of the Holy Spirit, but the power of the blood of Jesus. But we didn't know a lot about the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we got our faith a lot of times kind of shifted from the person of Christ that would solicit this devoted life and this devoted love from us over just into the power of God. Amen. We come into services and the Holy Ghost would, as we put it, fall upon us. He really didn't come down from heaven. He did that on the day of Pentecost. Amen. We felt like He was falling on us, but really He was rising up from within us. Can you say amen? Every time that you and I may use that term again, but He doesn't fall. And the Holy Ghost fell upon us. Well, He fell upon them on the day of Pentecost, but He never fell upon them again. Jesus said, you know, the Holy Ghost is not going to come down from heaven anymore. He has a place to live now here on earth. He has a base of operations here on planet earth now. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven. But Jesus said, once that day passes, amen, He's going to have another base of operation out of your belly or your innermost being where He is going to come to live shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Now, I may use the term, but I understand and comprehend that when it feels like He comes down, it's not like He's out there somewhere and He decides to come here. No, He's in here. We bring Him in. We either loose Him or we limit Him. But He's right in every one of you today. If a man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You can't have one without the other. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is when He has you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So where does love come into all of this? Well, it comes into it because faith and everything in your Christian life works off that foundation of love. And if we don't get rooted and grounded in love, we're just not going to love Him back with enough devotion to be faithful to Him. Amen. We'll just have these spiritual highs and we'll get inspired and we'll get motivated and we'll probably make great promises to God and we'll end up breaking them and feel like we have offended God. Listen, when you make a promise not based on love that endures all things out of your heart, God knows you're going to break it before you break it. It doesn't surprise Him when you fail. Can I lay something on you this morning? God is not surprised when you fail because He knows your heart when you made the promise better than you know your heart. Simon Peter is one of the greatest examples of this that I know because Jesus talked about being betrayed and he's sitting close to Jesus at that Last Supper, amen, and this warm, fuzzy feeling of like almost spiritual euphoria being in the presence of Jesus with such love surrounding them as they ate that final meal together. And you know what Peter said? He said, there may be some here that might deny you, but I will never deny you. Can you say amen? I'll lay down my life for you. And I believe he meant it as much as he could mean it before his heart was melted and devoted to Christ in love. Amen. I believe he wanted to keep that commitment. I believe he was sincere in what he said. But in his heart of hearts, that process of loving Jesus back for being loved so much hadn't taken place. Amen. So Jesus looked right back at him and said, before the cock crows in the morning, when the cock, you will have denied me three times. And Peter didn't pay a bit of attention to what Jesus was telling him. He was so sure of himself. But in the process, in the next few hours, Jesus was going to be arrested, taken away like someone so helpless. Amen. And the fear of being arrested and taken to be tortured and killed, amen, came upon all the disciples. And Peter was standing by a fire. Now he's disillusioned, he's disoriented, he's absolutely overwhelmed in his heart and life with fear. He's standing by a fire warming himself, and he's talking with some people there, and someone says, "You're one of those followers of Jesus." And he said, "I am not one of those followers." And they said, "Your speech betrayeth thee. You're from that region where he originated. You're one of those followers of Jesus Christ." And he said, "I am not. I never knew him." And they pressed the issue a third time and said, "Yes, you are." And he swore with an oath and said, "I never knew him." And the moment he did that, dawn broke and a rooster began to crow. And the words of Jesus echoed back in his ear. With all of these promises that are being made, before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times. And Peter could not believe that he was capable of doing that. He paid no attention to it until it happened. And immediately he was crushed. And the Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. Can you say amen? And how Jesus wanted to handle that is crucial, because Jesus knew he didn't love him enough yet that when the pressure come, he would break down. Emotional love is different than spiritual love that comes from the heart. Just mere emotion. So many people, amen, fall in love, they call it. It's like a construction worker seeing back in the day of the miniskirts, and some lady walks by with a miniskirt, a construction site, and some construction worker would say, "I think I'm in love." They don't know the person. They don't know what they're like. All they know is sexual attraction, and they call it love. Amen. There's a love called Eros, and it is sexual attraction. And God created sex. It was his idea. Can you say amen? And all the men said hallelujah. Well, you don't have to, but I will if you want. Hallelujah. It's God's idea. I'm going to, amen. And, I mean, yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. He could have arranged things differently, but he didn't. Amen. So that the world knows a lot about just sensuality. Amen. But they don't know anything about the deepening love much. Amen. But then there's another level of love that goes beyond the love, sexual attraction, which is really not so much a giving, but as a receiving. Amen. But then it goes on to Philadelphia, which is a love that has real, honest value and merit and worth. Amen. Phileo. And it's the love that a mother has for a child. And even that can break down under certain circumstances. Can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may. But I will never see. My love goes beyond that. Can you say amen? Yea, but I will never forsake you, O house of Israel. I will never, no, never forsake you, O house of Israel. It goes beyond that mother-child love. Amen. That maternal love. The love that God has, that the Father has for you, and that he has for me. Amen. So they had, and brotherly love. I told you about the young Marine that threw himself on a hand grenade. True story. And it's happened in every war. There have been men that would sacrifice themselves for their brothers or their friends. Amen. That's where the white-black thing and the economic stuff goes out the window, and all the things that make us differ, where you're in a battle. Amen. The main thing, after a while, you're not even fighting for the cause, many of the soldiers and veterans of wars said. It's not even patriotism driving you. When you're together with some of your friends that you grow close to because you live together, possibly die together, there's a bond that is created. And one soldier put it best. When he was interviewed, he said every man was fighting for his brother that was in the battle with him. Can you say, man? After a while, we were fighting for each other. Amen. There was a different, it got deeper than just political, deeper than just patriotism. It got down to brothers in arms. Can you say amen? That's what ought to happen in the Christian faith. It ought to get down to realizing that we're brothers in arms and we're fighting, amen, for the kingdom of God. If you don't know anything about that, I hope you make that discovery. Amen. I could have long theological disagreeing discussions with a lot of people out here. Amen. But when that net is cast to bring souls into the kingdom, I stand up my prayer. Come on, you don't hear me this morning. You're not listening to what I'm saying this morning. Some people are preaching Christ like I discovered with the wrong motive, with an ulterior motive. But I thank God Paul said that Christ is preached. Can you say amen? God's going to sift out all the junk one of these days. But right now, I stand up and give my agreement when the net is cast and souls are being brought in. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good today. I want to be part of that process. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's another love, though, that goes beyond phileo. It goes beyond this love, that greater love than this hath no man, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Do people do that? Yes, they do. But there's a greater love than that. When a man lays down his life for his enemies, when a man lays down his life for those who are hurting him, harming him, delighting in see him experience agony and pain, when a man dies for those people, that's love on a level that is beyond phileo, it's beyond eros. It goes into a spiritual level of divinity, of God himself. It's a different kind of love. Peter was going to discover that the love he said he had for Jesus was not the kind of love that Jesus had for him. Because the love he had for Jesus broke down under pressure. But the love that Jesus had for Peter didn't break down, even when Peter denied him publicly and failed him. Somebody give God praise in this room. It's a different kind of love. And from my understanding of study, amen, there was no word to capture the meaning of that love during the Christian era. And so as we bring words into vocabularies because of need to express something, new words are introduced every year. That's why they update and they abridge encyclopedias and they update and abridge dictionaries. Can you say amen? So a new word, and you know what the word is, a new word came on the scene in the human vocabulary of the day, and it was the word agape. And it's talking about love higher, on a higher level than any love that's ever been known or expressed. And it was the divine love of God. Agape. Say it with me, agape. This is the kind of love. And the Bible said that the love of God, the agape love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts. By whom? The Holy Ghost. This is not just about power. This is about a person coming to live in you that you can know intimately and personally. And a love that can be experienced within. We've known and believed the love that God has for us. For God is love. He that feareth is not perfected in love. Because perfect love casts out all fear. We got so busy trying to get everybody into a peaceful, faith-filled relationship with God. If they had a problem with fear, we attributed every time fear came to a scripture that said God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We thought that was talking about some evil spirit down in the netherworld. It was just talking about Timothy being discouraged, disheartened, amen, moving in fear instead of faith. It wasn't Satan strangling him with some spirit from the abyss that needed to be cast out. What he needed was to be perfected in love. It changed Peter. It was going to change Timothy. Because the next thing Paul told him was, it's not that you need deliverance from a spirit of fear, but you need to be perfected in love. He said, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but power and love. And what does that produce? A sound mind. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So he that feareth is not perfected in love, because perfect love casteth out all fear. Fear hath torment, penal imprisonment. It puts you in a prison. But perfect love does what? Without hands being laid on, without demons being addressed, amen, perfect love does what? Cast out. How much? All fear. Hallelujah. Fear hath torment, but perfect love does what? Cast it out. If you just knew this morning, and I mean knew by the Spirit of God how much God loved you. Peter's fear, because of God's love, amen, in his life, Peter's fear was assuaged. Peter's fear was cast out. Peter was so afraid of being tormented, tortured, and killed. And honey, cut him some slack. I'm not too keen on it myself. Amen. Amen. Listen, dying is one thing. But dying by a cross? Dying after being beaten until if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit strengthening Jesus, he couldn't have even survived the beating he went through. Scripture said his visage was marred more than any man. That means you've never seen a man in a condition through an accident or through an attack of a beast or through in a battle scene. You've never seen anybody whose image had been so absolutely tore up than his. The Old Testament prophecy said they plowed my back. They made their furrows long. The scourging was one of the most awful beatings a person could ever get. The Roman scourge was feared and dreaded because they used to call something similar to that as it evolved, the cat of nine tails. Piece of wood with braided leather. But that's not bad enough, nine of them. But at the end of them, either metal, sharp metal, shards from pottery or broken glass, whatever they could tie in the end. So when it wrapped around the body, when they yanked it back, chunks, literally, of flesh. He talked about his bones, his ribs, his bones being exposed. Actually, it tore enough flesh from this one beating that it exposed the ribs, bones. And people could see his ribs because of missing skin and flesh. That was just the prelude to the cross. That wasn't the cross, and its agonies are entirely different. This is just what he went through before he went to the cross. They plowed my back. They made their furrows long. See, this Jesus has value to me. His blood has worth to me. He didn't just die a beautiful little martyr death. He died a tortured death. He experienced all of the wrath of God for all of man's sin for all time at one time and place. Or your punishment, but he took the punishment of all men. So that if anyone calls upon his name, they'll be saved. Because the price has been paid. One of the reasons that I have bold faith for evangelistic effort, that I believe that our radio broadcast is going to reach so many for Jesus Christ, is because I know that he's already paid the ransom for them. I know hell can be plundered because I know the price for their deliverance has been paid. And if they choose to come out of the prison house, there's not a demon in hell that can hold them back. Not a chain big enough that can't be broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I know something that has happened at the cross. Amen. He took it. He took it. Not just for me or for you, but for all men and women for all time. He took it all. All the sins that man could ever commit and ever would commit was laid on him at Calvary. So that if anybody, whosoever, calls upon the name of the Lord, Dale, shall be saved. And all we're doing is saying, hell can't hold anybody that wants to come to Jesus. Because the price has been paid to set them free. Hallelujah. But it was an awesome price. Salvation is free. But it cost more than anyone has ever given. So he said they plowed my back. They made their furrows long. Turn with me. Turn to Psalm 22. Would you just for a moment? Jesus wanted devotion from Peter, solicited because of the kind of love he was going to love him with. He wanted him to give that love back to him. I won't spill it. It's full of bookmarks and other things. Psalm 22. A cry of anguish and a song of praise is the heading. At first you think David's talking about his enemies. but almost every scholar of Scripture believes, as David often did, he would go from talking about his conditions, his enemies, and prophetically begin to speak of things concerning Jesus Christ. What Jesus suffered on the cross as a suffering servant is beyond our human comprehension. The Bible said his visage was marred more than any man's. The Bible said they plowed my back. They made their furrows long. Just speaking of the scourging in and of itself. And I want you to listen to this. Verse 13 of Psalm 22. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. There's a star beside that. Prophetic stuff. What does it start with? I'm going to go back up to verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have you ever heard that anywhere before? Where was that cry given? David in his trouble or Jesus on the cross? It was Jesus on the cross. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring or my lamentations, my hurt, my pain, my agony? Oh God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest me not in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O Lord, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Isn't that amazing? A cry of anguish and a song of praise. I want to tell you something this morning as we just go down this just for a few minutes. You can be crying in anguish and still praise God. I have done it. Amen. And what a boon it is to my faith. When I'm hurting, I don't try to disguise it to God. I've got a scripture that says, pour your hearts out before Him. I can be broken and crying out to God and still thank Him that He's there to cry to. And that I know He's going to respond and help me. I don't have to suppress my emotions. Don't you hate to go to a funeral where a wife is heartbroken because her husband of so many years or her mother or dad is gone and they're saying, oh, you know, they're trying to cheer up that person and make them feel better. I want to cheer them up with truth from Scripture, but tears are requisite at certain times. God understands the language of tears. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. God, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall when he was told he was going to die, and he cried out to God. He felt like he had more life to live, and he cried out to God for that life. And the Bible said Isaiah, who had told him he was going to die, was going somewhere else. God turned him around, sent him back with a new message, and he said, I have heard your cry. I've seen your tears. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that God understands our brokenness? But in the midst of brokenness, amen, there is a cry that's saying, you're the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise you through all of this. Even in my agony, I've still got a praise for you. He said something, amen, so significant Jesus did standing before those who were going to torment him. So he said, my Father is always with me. Everybody else has forsaken me. He's always with me. But the problem was when he took your sin and mine upon himself, the Father couldn't give him that comfort and that consolation. And his cry from the cross was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, it's one thing to go through these things with God's grace upon you. It's another thing to go through this kind of torment with no evidence of God's grace, God's love, God's presence, or God's consolation. Jesus did not die as a great man under God's inspiration upon that cross. He died the death of a sinner so that we could be saved. Can you say amen? He died a God-forsaken death that we could never be forsaken of God. There was no consolation to that man hanging on that tree. And remember when they came to get him? Peter pulled his sword and he tried to cut off a man's head, and the man winced just enough that he just caught his ear and sliced it from his head. Everybody say that's a close call. And Jesus turned to Peter and said, put up your sword. If my kingdom were of this world, I would have called a legion of angels and destroyed the world and everyone in it. But see, he was going to the cross not because he was undefended or He was weak and they took him. He went because he loved you and me. Those nails did not hold Jesus to that truth. Love held him there. It's the only thing that could have held him there. There's nothing else in the universe strong enough to hold him there except love for you and me. Can you say amen? No devil could have held him there. Caesar couldn't have held him there. Roman soldiers couldn't have held him there. Can you say amen? He was God incarnate. He was God take on flesh. He made the world. He grew the tree that they were putting him on. He could speak a word, one word, and fire could have come out of heaven. But he didn't. As a lamb, dumb before his shearers. See, that's why in the book of Revelation, John is weeping. In this wonderful book of Revelation, John the Revelator is weeping. And he's weeping for a reason, because there is a book in the hand of him that sits upon the throne. And it's got seals on that book. It's a sealed book. And John understood there's a great significance in this book, because redemption is not complete unless that book can be taken by a man and open. Can you say amen? And there was a search made. John looking, amen, with the angel of the Lord. Is there anyone in heaven worthy? Is there anyone on earth worthy to take the book from him that sits upon the throne? Most Bible scholars believe that this book is what Adam had. It is typical initially of the title deed to the earth. Can you say amen? Why is that, Brother Venable? Because the meek shall what? According to the Beatitudes, the meek shall inherit the earth. If we suffer with him when he comes back to this earth, what are we going to do? We're going to administrate his rule with him. We're going to reign with him. Can you say amen? But a man that has never sinned, can the only one that can undo what Adam did was a man after Adam's race that could reach out and take that book from him. And a search was made of a man that was sinless and not. Not one man was found yet. And John thought it was hopeless. There's no one holy enough to take the book. No man is holy enough to take the book from him that sits upon the throne. And then the angel turned to him and said, oh, yes, there is. Dry your tears. The Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed, and he is worthy to take the book from him that sits upon the throne. And that's what begins the tribulation and consummates with the enemy defeated and God's people reigning forever. A new heaven and a new earth. But with that book starts it all and proves that Jesus indeed has ransomed us and redeemed us. And in our behalf, has stood before God and pleaded for us. Can you say amen? And undid what sin had done and lifted the curse from this planet. Praise God. Hallelujah. And gave eternal life, something that death could never touch again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? And you know what John looked for? John, hearing the term Lion of Judah, turned around. When it said, the Lion of Judah, he hath prevailed, he turned around and he looked for a lion. You know what he saw? He said, and I saw a lamb as it had been slain. Not just a lamb, but a lamb whose white wool was saturated with red crimson blood. A lamb that's throat had been cut and the blood had drained down its body. This lamb with blood all over it has prevailed. This lamb with blood all over it, this is where our victory came from. This that the devil thought was the greatest defeat there ever would be, this holiest of all men on the cross dying, death still prevails. This is the source of our victory. His death in our behalf brought a victory like the world and the universe had never known. Angels stand in awe of it. They desire to look into, the scripture said, the things that we see every day. Angels don't have the privilege of this blood-bought gospel. They don't have the privilege of being ransomed by the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? They say we're here because we've never fallen. We didn't follow Satan in rebellion. We're here in God's presence because we've never sinned. Amen. They have sinned. They have come short of the glory. Amen. But because of what Jesus has done on that cross, because of the great love wherewith God loved mankind in his fallen state, these people are coming here to live with us. Hallelujah. And we are sent to serve them upon the earth. Oh, what love angels desire to look into. Amen. There's going to be a song, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. It's going to be sang in the presence of God in heaven. And it's about redeeming love. Can you say, man, it's about redeeming blood. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whether it be Moses and the blood on the doorpost, Jesus, the blood on the cross. Amen. It's the love of God that we're extolling in heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he was willing to do what he did to purchase you and me. Peter didn't comprehend that kind of love until he failed completely. And when he failed and disowned God and swore with an oath and said, I never knew him. And the next time he encounters Jesus, Jesus is saying, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, overwhelmed that he would speak to him kindly, that he would still call him to minister. Overwhelmed with that kind of love. Begin to love him back. Begin to love him back. So many Pentecostals got into the power thing. We sensed the power of God on us. We knew nothing of his person, little of his true person. How can you fall in love with somebody you don't know? Real love grows through the knowledge of someone, sharing intimacy with them. Amen? Real love grows that way. God has always wanted intimacy with us. That's why so many services, we think we can preach well enough to take the place of the Holy Spirit bringing the manifest presence of Jesus. It can't be done. The love of God comes one way, not just in mental comprehension. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. By whom? By the only one that can do that. Amen. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We came to him for power. He had much more to offer us than power. Can you say amen? He wanted to manifest a person to us and within us. Everybody say a person. You don't fall in love with power. You get enamored by power. It's great to have gifts of the Spirit. It's great that dynamic that comes to preach. When God uses you, it's a rush. It's a thrill to be used of God. The power of God is awesome, but the person of God is way beyond awesome. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why Paul, with all this power, talk about spiritual credentials. Paul, amen, he was called to preach by Jesus after the resurrection, who the glory, who made an earthly manifestation of himself, spoke to him in an audible voice. How do you know it was audible? Because that he spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue and said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Amen. That's how he got his calling. He was blinded by that experience, went over to a Christian's house, was prayed for, and had the miracle of sight restored to him. Amen. And then he said, I knew such a one, whether in the body or out, speaking to himself without pride, amen, saying, was lifted up into third heaven and saw things I'm not permitted to utter. People were healed. People were delivered and set free under his ministry. He said, though I speak in tongues more than you all, he operated in the gifts of the Spirit. He was full and flowing in a dynamic of ministry, wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, half of them, if you just look at that, the books themselves. Talk about spiritual credentials, and what is his quest? He has all of these credentials. And he says, oh, that I might know him. Can you say amen? I want to know him. I want to really know him. I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might also know him in the power of his resurrection. And he said, the love of Christ constraineth me. That's what propels me. That's what moves me ministerially. The love of Christ. Can you say amen? You can go into church and see people doing their duty, and I commend people doing their duty. But it's different when somebody's doing it because of the love of Christ pulling them and drawing. I love to be around missionaries that are in the, if they're in the mission field, laying their life on the line, giving up everything that America could offer them, and even a great pastorate in America could offer them all of the perks, and going to a mission field and living like the people and eating the bare minimum stuff just to tell them about Jesus. What's going on in their life? Why are they so happy? Why are they so filled with joy? Amen. A man came to preach for us some years ago from Trinidad. I forgot his name. I don't know if you remember him. A young man from Trinidad came to minister back at the Holy Church of God. And he'd been to a church, and I knew that when he came to our church, that we wouldn't be that large. We couldn't give him as much as a larger church could. So I told him up front, I said, sir, if you come to our church, we don't have that much to offer, but you're welcome to come as long as you understand. If you want to go to a larger church because you need help with your work, we'll understand that. But if God, you know, we're small in number. We can't do what they could do. And he had a limited time in America. Usually you hit the big churches. They got the deeper pockets. Amen. But he said, it does not matter at all. It does not matter at all. I want to go where God is sending me. He said, I'm not just coming for an offering. I'm coming to minister for Jesus Christ. And he said, it doesn't matter. He said, it doesn't matter large or small. He said, wherever I go, he said, I want to put my best foot forward for Jesus. I said, then, sir, you are so welcome to come and minister to us. That kind of heart is kind of hard to find these days. Can you say amen? There are some people who wouldn't even think of coming to a small congregation. Amen. There were ministers that were so into themselves. And I won't tell you their names because I don't want to disillusion you. You'll get enough of that without me adding to it, believe me. Can you say amen? But there were ministers who are named ministers of the past who had great miracle ministries. One particular minister would not rent a building big enough to hold the people for fear it wouldn't fill up all the way. Would always rent a building too small, so when it said the crowds had to be turned away. Amen. This particular minister had to have a fan set up in the corner to blow across the garments so the garments would kind of wave in the breeze. Isn't that incredible that we would be so self-conscious when we're telling people about Jesus? Amen. And trying to create this. And it's amazing. And when you find out these things, you see those old feet of clay and those old big toes of clay. Can you say amen? Those stinky feet of clay. Everybody's got them. Can you say amen? You wear your shoes for 48 hours. You're going to have stinky feet. And it doesn't matter if you're a preacher, if you're a pope, it doesn't matter if you're an evangelist, it doesn't matter who you're a president of the United States. How many know? Ask his wife. I'll tell you, amen, President Bush's feet stink after a while. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. Everybody has feet of clay. But I'm not looking for perfection, but I am looking for genuineness. I'm looking for honesty. This is a God worth serving with everything we have and everything we are. And there are preachers who have given up the good life and the sweet life, amen, to tell people about Jesus. There are missionaries that have given up everything and even their lives to tell other people about Jesus Christ. At Moody Bible Institute, there is a wall, amen, with names on it of graduates of Moody Bible Institute who have died on the mission field of martyr's death to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Paul had one driving force in his life. The love of Christ constraineth me. And that's why when they went to take off his head, he had no regrets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Perfect love casts out all fear. And fearful Peter is getting ready to have his life turned around as he's perfected in love by perfect love. Listen to this. Let's jump down to verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. What did they cry? Crucify him. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. If thou be the Son of God, save yourself. Come down off the cross. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delights in him. Isn't that what they said at the foot of the cross? The exact words. See, we're moving into prophecy here. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there's none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening, roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. See, when they lifted him up on that cross and they shoved it into the ground, it literally yanked his bones out of joint in his shoulders. He's hanged by bones out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. In other words, my heart is under such pressure, it's hard for me to expand my rib cage and even get air in my lungs. My strength is dried up, dehydration. Like a potsherd, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me and pierced my hands and feet. Hello? Pierced my hands and feet. I may tell all my bones. They look out and stare upon me. I can see my bones through my flesh from the beating. I can count them, is the word. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. What did they do at the foot of the cross? They cast lots. Come on, this is not David anymore. This is the one that would come through the bloodline of David. This is the suffering servant that Isaiah talked about in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. And I want you to forget about your physical ailments. This is not about those ailments. It's healing the deadly wound of sin. Is there healing in Isaiah 53? Yes. Isaiah 53:3, not 53:5. Isaiah 53:5, he's borne our grief, carried our sorrows. Matthew interpreted that in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew. Amen. When they saw him bringing the sick out of every quarter, he was moved with compassion and healed him, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by the prophet Isaiah. And he quoted verse 3, surely he's borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Can you say amen? But 5 is not about the healing of the body, but healing of something more important. The body's going to pass in spite of all the healings you get down here. How many know we're going to age and we're going to die, but the soul is going to live forever somewhere. And the deadly wound of sin has destined your soul, amen, to hell forever. But Jesus came to heal that deadly wound. And with his stripes on that cross, we were being healed of that deadly wound. Come on, church. This is way beyond the physical and the natural and the material. There is healing for your body. But if you get your body healed and your soul isn't healed, your spirit isn't healed, your sin isn't forgiven, the deadly wound stays, then you're lost forever. But thank God with his stripes, because his bones were exposed, because he took that kind of torture, we are healed, we are saved, we are delivered and set free. Can you say amen? That's why I love him today. I'm not just a dutiful churchgoer. The love of Jesus Christ constraineth me. I've preached this gospel for 35 years, and it's just as if Jesus died yesterday and he's coming tomorrow. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm 60 years old, but I ain't no ways tired of preaching this gospel. It's not mediocre. It's not lackluster. It's not mundane. It's not repetitious. It's not rhetoric. Amen. It's fresh and it's anointed. It's true. Hallelujah. How did we ever get over that? We were never supposed to get over that. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amazing love. How can it be? Amazing love. Amazing love. I'm not asking you initially to love me. I'm asking you to begin to appreciate my love for you. To receive it into your life and count it precious. Love will grow within you. Love will come forth within you. It came forth in Peter's life and it changed him from a fearful man to a faithful man. And it can change you this very day, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise in this room. Did it change Peter? Did it change him? Was there a change? Look, everybody, all my life, I've heard that when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, that's what changed. That's not what changed him. He was changed long before the day of Pentecost. He was changed by a Jesus who he denied, who loved him unconditionally, unequivocally. Amen. Who embraced the man that was most verbal and vocal and visible in his denial and loved him in spite of himself. And he said, if there's a love like that for a man like me that has failed like I have, then I love that man that loves me this much. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room. I love that man from Galilee, for he has done so very much for me. He's taken all of my sin. He's let the Holy Ghost come in. I love that man from Galilee. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Peter, do you love me? How can I help but loving you? Then feed my sheep. Peter, in his heart of hearts, fell in love with Jesus Christ and served him till the day he died a martyr's death. And died that death without fear. And when they took him to a cross for following Jesus, he said, inverted according to historians that wrote of the time, not the Bible, but historians that wrote of the time. He said, crucify me upside down, for I'm not worthy to be crucified like my master. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? Someone committed to his catechism, to his religious duty? No. Someone who had found the love of God to be so wonderful and powerful that he began to love him back. Can you say amen? To reciprocate, to return. We love him, cause and effect, because he what? First loved us. So how am I going to get devotion out of people to follow me as I follow Christ? How am I going to get you committed? What's going to be the turning point in your life? Can I threaten you with hell's fires? I've seen you threaten with that. It don't last. After a while, you say, you know, I'll get saved someday. I still got time. Amen. What a lie from the devil's dungeons. No, you won't get saved unless the Spirit of God draws you. You don't come on your terms when you get ready. You're not dealing with somebody that you can play those games with. You're dealing with a God that if he don't call you, you can't come. You see, the misconception is I can get saved when I'm ready. No, you can't. No man comes to me except the Father draw him. This is serious business today. You're not going to come to God when you're ready. You're going to come when he calls, or you're not coming. It doesn't mean that if he calls and you don't come, you won't get another chance. It means he has to call for you to come. And there are those that have rejected the call so much the Scripture said they'll be turned over to a reprobate mind. Since they're determined not to come, I will quit calling. Are you here? Are you listening to me? This is the Word of God. Come on, you don't hear it on television because it might offend somebody and the offerings might go down. I have nothing to gain by that. I'm going to go to work tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm here for your soul this morning. I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to make a living for my family. Whether people come and contribute is not going to determine whether we eat or whether we do not. I'm going to tell the truth on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If I'm ever full-time again, I'll be full-time like I was for 25 years. Amen. I'll preach the truth and God will honor it. But I will not play with men's souls and I will not cut it, amen, to fit everybody. Amen. You've got to come when God calls you, darling. No man comes to me except my Father. Father, draw him. This is not something we deal with God and say, when I am tired of all my sinning, one day I think I'll get right with him. Just before I die, maybe, or when I'm too old to party. No, that's not how it works, honey. Amen. Billy Graham Association said, after 60 years old, very few people ever come to Christ. Why is that? For years they've been called. For years they've heard the gospel. For years they've pushed God away. And the heart has become callous and the mind has become so darkened. hand. Amen. They'll die rather than come to Jesus. I prayed for people that would not call on Him on their deathbed. I'm telling you, if you ever feel Holy Ghost conviction, that's not God bothering you. That's God loving you too much to let you alone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's God loving you too much to let you be lost. It's God loving you too much to let sin take its course and damn your soul. Thank God for the love of God, hallelujah, that keeps on bugging you and bugging me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you glad He didn't let you alone? Woo! I'm so glad He didn't give up on me. I used to roll up the window of my car when conviction would come. Find a hard rock channel and turn it up. Amen. Give me the Beat Boys. You know, turn it up. Kill that conviction any way I could. Put on Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, The Doors, The Who. Turn it up. Turn up the volume. Pump it up. Till my speakers rattle, trying to get away from the hound of heaven. You know how He got me? You know how He got one night coming home from work. I took Benzedrine at work, uppers to people who are not familiar with what they do for you. Amen. I took that at work. Could get a big piece count. Didn't need much sleep. But I couldn't sleep after all the Benzedrine in my system that speeds up the heart rate. I'd be laying there with banjo eyes at 4 in the morning, ready to and have a big day coming the next day. So under my seat, I kept a bottle of Southern Comfort whiskey because you could drink that whiskey from here to Plant City, from Tampa to Plant City. And I had enough whiskey in me when I got to Plant City to start counteracting the Benzedrine so I could lay down and get some sleep. So that was my pattern. Get the Benzedrine at work, sip that, you know, because Southern Comfort is smooth and you can sip it without a chaser. I took that all the way. You all don't know that kind of language. I'm sorry I even brought it up. Amen. But amen. I took that and all the way to Plant City. And one morning on the way, I see people here that don't know anything. I'm sorry I even took you there. Can you say amen? Chasers, what is that? Is that something about dogs and cats? I don't understand this. But anyway, amen. All the way to Plant City. See, I was lost before I got saved. I didn't get up, amen, and just start preaching and living for God all of my life. I've been where some of you are, and I thought sin was the greatest thing, amen, that I could get involved in. I thought that was where it was at. I could find my fulfillment in it. I got news for you. I've been where you are today, and I'm telling you, it's not in there. It don't have it to offer. What I have in my heart this morning, sin can't offer that. And eternal life on top of that, God with me here, me with God when I die, there's nothing better than that in all the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no car can do it like that. There's no woman. I love my wife. Amen. I'm totally fulfilled in her. I'm not looking for anybody else. I don't need anybody else. I have Jesus fulfilling me. So I don't ask all that much out of Pamela. She's a wonderful lady. Amen. But she could never be all that I would need if I didn't have Jesus in my heart. That's why people go from relationship to relationship. They're looking for something that only God can give. No woman can give you that. No man can give you that. No money can give you that. No fame can give you that. There's only one that said, "Ho, he that is thirsty, come to me and drink." And his name is Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have water you know not of. Praise the Lord. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with my marriage. I'm satisfied with my automobile. I'm satisfied with my clothes. I'm satisfied with my house. I'm satisfied with my grass. Most of it's weeds. You mow it and it all looks pretty green from a distance. So my yard's even okay. I'll tell you, there's a house next door they spent thousands on. But when we both mow our grass and it's level and you can't see the weeds from the grass, mine looks just as good. They got the fertilizer guy coming. I got a dog that does it for me. Great big yellow dog. God is so good. Hallelujah. Stray dog come. We took her in anyway. God is good. 85 pounds. Lord have mercy. They're big. Anyway, moving right along. God is good. God is good. If you will find in me what I want you to find in me, you will discover love, you will discover joy, you will discover peace, you will discover power, you will discover abundant life, saith God. You will discover these things and know me as the treasure hid in the field and the pearl of great price. And when you give all for that, you will count it as but nothing, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to this. We're going to finish with this. Verse 19 says, "Be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns or the wild oxen. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, ye seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I'll pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. The kingdom of is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And they that be fed upon the earth shall eat and worship. And they that go down into the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep him alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and they shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this." We're part of that seed that's serving him, that's declaring to this generation that will be born and has been born what he has done. Can you say amen upon that cruel cross? And we do it because the love of Christ constraineth us. Now for the scripture. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust in the covert, the shadow of your wings." Faith comes from a person who's revealed unto us, not just from a power that comes from reading a mystical book, as holy as it is. It's not about the words on that page. It's about the mouth and heart that brought them forth to us. Can you say amen? It's about God. It's about Jesus. Will you stand today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.